Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates from coast to coast. Coming up in this hour, in 15 minutes, I will give you a future bet to make. It's an award. If I am going to tell you right now, there's one bet to make today or this week. Uh-huh. This is the one.
Yep.
This
very
is the
good.
One.
Yep. I'm on it.
Okay, very good. Paul Stone coming up as well. He is going to take us through at least one of the games this week in college football that he likes with a player prop, and he's got a couple of college basketball games, busy night tonight in that sport that he likes today as well. And we'll go through our pizzeria bets coming up, your pizzeria bets in about 45 minutes.
A couple emails and tweets on losing passwords, baby pictures, stuff like that. And certainly we know those horror stories from Bitcoin about losing passwords.
Yeah, that would take the cake, I think, any of this stuff.
Sure. Computer mishaps, laptop, etc. FTM at VSiN.com.
All right, so Steve Mackinnon does a stellar job on the network for pretty much every sport the entire calendar year. NFL, no exception, has great numbers, and he has tracked this now for a long, long time. He's going back like 24 years, so quarter century, right? And he looked at common traits used or that were met by the last 48 Super Bowl participating teams, like by his numbers. And I'm not going to bore you to death by telling you all of his numbers because that would take the entire show. But what I would do is suggest that you go and read it because that's a lot easier for you to do it in the audience at vsin.com. Become a pro subscriber today and you can break it down and look at it from him. There's a lot of hardcore numbers that go involved or that are involved in this. And so he points out that this has been a very good test, by the way, meeting his numbers and who's going to actually win the whole thing or has the chance to make the best, biggest run. Now, with that said, there's kind of an asterisk and a word of caution. Looking back at the charts from the last 2 years, it didn't do nearly as well as it had the prior years utilizing his mythology. In fact, he did have Philadelphia tied for first last year in both overall and the NFC, but he had Kansas City ranked fourth in the bottom on the chart. And then eventually Kansas City made the Super Bowl, and they got pounded by Philadelphia, so that played out. Typically, Steve finds that the analysis pegs at least one of the conference's top teams accurately, and it rarely goes against a position below position number four. So the most successful recent projection came in 2023 when the Super Bowl teams ranked number two and number four per his numbers. For 2026, the teams that meet the most criteria, in the NFC, it's the Rams. They check the box out of every single set of criteria that he uses, all 27. The team in the AFC is New England. Again, Rams 27 for 27. Uh-huh. New England leads the AFC with a score of 24. Seattle has, they checked the box 25 times. Jacksonville, fourth overall, number 22. And then there is a next group of four teams right below that. Now, he did point out that the Rams' perfect score of 27 is the first score that we've had perfect in the last 2 years. Dallas did it a couple years ago when they got pounded by Green Bay wildcard weekend. So his pecking order goes Rams, Seattle, New England, Jacksonville, and then out of the 27 sets of criteria that he uses, Buffalo is next. They meet 19 of them. Houston at 18, along with San Francisco. Then it goes Denver only at 16, the one seed. The Chargers, the Bears, the Eagles only 14, along with the Packers. And then Pittsburgh has only a number of nine with it, and Carolina only seven. So expecting those two teams to go on a long run would be almost like unprecedented based on his numbers. And if you flip it and go at the teams at the top, that would be a pretty strong pecking order. Again, last 2 years, Chiefs, maybe a little bit of mirage getting there. They eventually got blown out. And then, like I said, 2 years ago, the Cowboys had a perfect rating and they got blasted in the first round.
That angle where you, in this round only, you play the team that played the better schedule. And that's been very good. It was awesome for 10 years and hasn't been dropped off for a little bit there for a couple years. But that screams Chargers against the Patriots. Easiest schedule for a playoff team since 1999.
That's right.
And also beat one team with a winning record. So I still think they beat the Chargers, but certainly You want to play that angle. It screams Chargers plus the points Sunday night.
Yeah, I would go check that out at VSiN.com. I also tweeted it out earlier today at Mitch Moss Radio and get all 27 sets of his criteria and the overall look at history based on the numbers that he puts together on that. So interesting that the top two teams would come out of the NFC. Actually, no surprise really on that one. And then to have that big of a drop-off, though, where the next four teams are out of the AFC before you get to the Niners, who are ahead of the Eagles, by the way, on that list. And the Eagles are taking money here in this game. You said it earlier. Right. Now you're going to have to... I am not surprised they took a little bit of money. I love the defense. But at some point here, if that number keeps going up, now you have to expect this Philadelphia offense to win by maybe a touchdown?
I don't see it. They're going to come out Sunday afternoon. Going to get what they want. Get Barkley going in the passing attack. We rarely have seen it. We saw it for a half against the Rams and the Viking game. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And they look good against Seattle. I mean, you had issues against the run, but you allowed 13 points. The Bear game was bad, but I just don't think how it's going to be back to back. Even if you do it against San Francisco, that you're going to be talking about the Eagles in the NFC title game. And I'm surprised. Petullo and the offense, they worked this out. They're on the same page, and now watch out for Philly.
You know,
I think it's what you said months ago, the defense is going to have to carry them.
Yeah, which is certainly possible.
Yeah, they can win two low-scoring games, yeah.
I will point out,
are they going to score 27 points? 24 points?
This team, along with the Chiefs in the regular season, the Chiefs last year, although they were winning all those one-score games, and again, they made the Super Bowl, but I just have that Shaquille O'Neal moment in my head with the Lakers. We can flip the switch.
Yeah.
I mean, they never could. Can the Eagles just flip the switch? That's way easier said than done.
Yeah, I think it's easier in the NBA. They didn't have a lot of good teams back then, and they had the two or the five best players in the league.
Yeah.
Maybe two of the best three in the league on the same team.
So the Eagles never really did that through the regular season.
It's also 82 games.
Yeah. And now that we get to the playoffs, we're like, yeah, the offense is going to put it together here and now and be just fine. Yeah. That would be just shocking to me. That would happen. Oh, by the way, watch out for, with all these hot now offensive names on the market, the Eagles would be very wise. In fact, you can't do this, I guess, when you're in the playoffs, unless we go college football here like Lane Kiffin. If they could land somebody like Cliff Kingsbury to be the OC, got to do that in a heartbeat. But that also coincides with when they're going to bow out of the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's no way you can bring that guy back as the OC next year. That can't happen. There was also this, by the way. I sent over some really good numbers earlier today on Kyle Shanahan when he takes on Vic Fangio. It has not gone well.
How about this? This is crazy. That's being kind. That's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a disaster. And so much so, he recognized that, hey, I bet this guy does a number on me. I'd like to bring him in. And the Bears blocked it in 2017.
Here
wouldn't
you
allow
go.
It.
Yep. This is from Matt Maiocco, who covers the team, points out Shanahan has gone up against Vic Fangio's defense only four times. That's it. Last time, 2018. So it's a long time ago. However, Shanahan's offenses, and keep in mind, he's always had a good offense. They scored 11, 6, 15, and 9 points. Now, the quarterbacks were John Beck, RG3, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Nick Mullins. But to your point, Maiocco has this on the tweet. Shanahan tried to hire Fangio in 2017. Bears said no.
Yep.
Swooped in, blocked it. Couldn't do it. So that could be a thing. I mean, I remember sitting here on Black Friday when the Bears were taking apart the Eagles. We're like, oh, this is a mismatch. Ben Johnson knew how to game plan for Fangio all day long, and Fangio talked about it after the game. Loved what they were doing. They had no answer for the running game.
Yeah. That's great.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, going back to mishaps, how about the people on Zoom meetings when they think they're off and going back to COVID, where you had to do everything remote-wise?
Yeah.
There's been commercials made out of that, too, where the guy, he accidentally stands up and he's got his underwear on. Got that? Or with the coffee, what he's doing? With a couple of those? That's a good one, too.
Yeah. I think the one person that took off, went viral, forgot that he was on a Zoom call. Started having a little fun. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, yeah. That one, too. Yeah. Yeah. Good one. Excellent. I can't believe you barely tapped the screen and broke it.
Yeah, I didn't. It's not like I mauled the screen. I mean, I, you know, whatever.
Oh.
Hit it. But it's not like I took a sledgehammer to it and it just it totally shattered and all the photos were gone. I've never seen them again. It's been 20 years, whatever. I don't recall there being an iCloud back then.
I have done that. I have done that. Like, it hasn't worked. It's been, you know, it freezes. It's site loading, whatever it says. And then I hit the screen out of frustration, but it's never cracked or broken.
Yeah.
But certainly you're taking that chance. I'm sure there's a lot of those, too.
I made a mistake as a parent the other night. We're sitting around. It's Sunday night during the football game. I'm drinking a glass of water out of a glass with ice cubes in it. Sebastian loves ice cubes. So he was like kind of digging around. He wanted to try to get them out. And I said, no, buddy, you can't have those. Let me get your own cup. I put my glass down in front of me. And then I pay attention to the game for 5 seconds. He takes the glass and he throws it. And it shattered into 20 million pieces all over the living room. We have two dogs at the house. Like once you shatter glass, that stuff flies all over the entire house. Good luck trying to find all of it. Absolutely. And we just completely panicked and I had to take the dogs outside. I had to pick him up and just like go to work. But it's like, okay, file that one away, hot shot. Mm-hmm. Never have a regular glass around the kid anymore and let him play with it. He lobbed it up and then grenade, boom, there's all the shrapnel.
Left-handed?
Yeah, he's ambidextrous.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You said that. Yep. He's got a shot. Make $5 million a year as a relief pitcher.
I would take that. That'd be good. We have our pizza bets coming up in about an hour. Check that in about a half an hour.
This is good.
I'll give you a little taste of a bet that you need to grab before Advantage is coming up here. And Follow the Money is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. All right, I promise I'm going to pay off the bet that you need to make, but we do have breaking news, and it's pretty significant. And that is, moments ago, the Ravens have decided to, it appears, get rid of John Harbaugh. Phrased in the media as he is out as the head coach. Harbaugh parting ways after days of discussion with the Baltimore Ravens. He is gone. And I got to be honest, I am not that surprised. I'm really not.
It's the right move. Had to happen. Coaching malpractice. Number one, how can the beast go so many games, halves, moments, quarters without getting the ball? Why is he on the bench for the last, and doesn't get a touch in the last 12 minutes of the New England game, which kept you out of the playoffs?
That's almost
you almost lost your prop bet. He had 15 carries in the first half and had 5 in the second half.
It's almost as if he was trying to get fired this year.
Yeah, good point.
With the play calling.
And then you have this. Over the last 5 seasons, they have 12 losses when leading by 7 or more points in the fourth quarter. It kept happening and happening. And guess what? It happened against New England. It also kept them out of the playoffs. They did it last year. There was a Browns game, I think. There was the Raider game. Was it last year or 2 years ago in Survivor when they lost and they were up big in the fourth quarter?
That's right.
It's like that. This key, it can't keep happening. How can this guy blow so many double-digit leads, and especially at home? Coaching malpractice.
Well, now all of a sudden.
Also what you have said for weeks, just time for a new voice. Which also goes back to the same organization. The first time I ever heard that, when Brian Billick was let go. He won a Super Bowl. He just said, yeah, time for a new voice.
That's right.
And yeah, you're right.
Okay, so this immediately becomes the best job that's open, right?
No doubt.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, it's not even really that close. I mean, I like the Giants job quite a bit, actually. I think that's a really good job to take. And oh, by the way, news on that, Stefanski's in New York.
Yeah, the race is on now.
Yeah,
this is funny, too, because when you took off Christmas Eve and Mark Malusis was in, New York guy, back on a fan, Doug, It was, he said, he asked me off air. He goes, do you see odds on Harbaugh next Giants coach? I go, that makes a lot of sense. I'd love it. Hope it could happen. I don't, he wasn't listening.
Well, I have him now.
Okay.
He's now up. This is, well, globally speaking, you can find this. Stefanski is the short shot to get the Giants job. Oh, don't tell me they just took them all off the board. They did. It looks like they pulled every coaching prop off the board now. No! Come on, put him back up.
What was he?
Stefanski was plus 150. Harbaugh was plus 550. But there were two guys in between. I think the book that right now I'm on just yanked all their coaching odds. So we'll pivot to Kelce then. Okay.
Go to Kelce. Well, we'll have a unique perspective coming up with Rizzo. It'll be fun. The guys in ESPN Cleveland are just stunned that he's become like a sympathetic figure now after they think he just did a terrible job and went 8-26 the last couple of years.
They think Stefanski did?
Yes. The roster is poor.
It's
on offense.
I can't wait to talk to Rizzo. Right. You must point at the GM.
Yeah. That's why it's the worst case scenario. He was let go, but Barry stays, and Barry makes the decision.
Barry's now going to make the decision. It's been a fiasco with him as the GM. Okay, so
I got to go Harbaugh over Stefanski.
If you're
the Giants, sorry.
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Oh, come on.
Paul.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Look at the talent that he had. Look at the talent Stefanski had.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance Stefanski's awesome.
I don't think he's that good of a coach.
Oh, he was given crap.
Eh.
He had a horrible roster the entire
here's
time.
The thing. Here's the thing. We are watching all these games. Oh, there's 7-8 early games. These guys are watching just the Browns, and they're just with pre-snap penalties. No creativity. No imagination. Why is Sanders on the bench? This stupid wildcat play out with the two-point conversion. You know, stuff like that. I think that's why it's also important, which, yes, he's won the coach of the year twice, and they had injuries in the offensive line and other stuff, but it's also, at some point, you have to look halfway decent on offense.
Okay. John Harbaugh's had maybe the best roster, along with the 49ers and the Chiefs and the Patriots. One of the best rosters in the league for 15 years, probably.
Numerous good seeds, too. Yeah.
You're going to know this answer.
Yeah.
Who blew the coverage in the game at Denver in the playoffs?
Raheem Moore?
Jacoby Jones got behind him.
Yeah.
For the touchdown.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen,
that's right.
He doesn't win that Super Bowl.
Never should have happened.
And he has never even gotten to one with Lamar Jackson in this roster.
14-2, 13-3, hosting AFC title games.
Every year, right there. Division winning teams. Roster absolutely loaded to the gills. You have a two-time MVP quarterback. You just mentioned it. Blown all those fourth quarter leads. Disaster. I absolutely give me the unknown with Kevin Stefanski over him. I would also point out that why do we have to have the recycled coaches? All of a sudden, Robert Saleh is now the hot name. Going to get multiple job interviews. We just saw this with the Jets. Now, I get it. It was the Jets.
Yeah, but they couldn't stop anything. That's why you're right. He's a defensive guy.
Why do we have to go back to him all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's nobody else. Once you get a job as a head coach, you're going to be just getting them left and right?
I know what happens in the NBA, too.
Yes, it does.
It's like, all right, here's another. Give this guy another shot. Mm-hmm. Another shot. Here he comes again.
There's also news out of Detroit today as they whacked the OC. John Morton gone.
Oh, boy.
One and done out of him.
Well, they didn't do much with Campbell, though, either. Campbell took the leash kind of early on either. And it still didn't work out. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, that's why you could really make a case for Ben Johnson. The Bears won the division, and the Lions finished in last place.
No doubt.
That shows you how good Ben Johnson was.
And last year, it was the exact opposite. Lions finished in first place, number one seed. Bears were dead last in that division. So there is only one job up right now, live to bet into, and it's Cleveland. Schwartz is the short shot, 2-1, followed by Saleh. And, oh, by the way, I think this is going to...
No, don't do it.
Do you want to jump off Hoover Dam?
He's not getting the job. There is no way that Deion?
No. Mike McCarthy 7-1.
God.
You wait. Have you talked to Rizzo today?
No. He's in the barn. He's watching tape.
This is why it was terrible to get rid of Stefanski and keep Barry, because I believe when Rizzo joins us in an hour, he's going to tell us that big Mike McCarthy's on their radar. Which, again, you're the Cleveland Browns. I would expect him to screw it up by hiring somebody like him.
It's the least desirable job, and it's not even close.
Ooh, Raiders are close.
Nah. It's because I have to inherit the Watson fiasco. Until they say we're going to eat it.
That's another one. Barry, who's responsible for that?
I know. Yeah, I know. They should have cleaned house. I know.
Yeah, they should have.
He should have been gone, too. Apparently, he was gone if they lost the Bengal game. That's what's hilarious. I mean, right.
Barry.
Yes. That's what Haslam said. That's what Haslam said. This is it's a hot dog stand.
Oh, it's too good.
Yeah.
That's what
Haslam said. That saved his job, apparently. But until they say we're just going to cut him and he goes away forever, that's, you can't come in and take that job knowing that, I got a little bit of Watson here. The fan base loves Sanders. The young people like him. We're going to give him a chance. Maybe we'll draft somebody again. Oh, man.
This is, okay, so who would you have in mind for a defensive head coach of the Giants? This is from my buddy Jason, who's got season tickets. He said, if we go defensive head coach, I'd be very strong on Kingsbury OC to work with Dart.
Love it.
Bring him in. You got the young quarterback. Plus, you know the Washington defense in division twice a year.
This is why this is so big. You need a good GM. You need good coaches. And you have to be able to draft. Or else you never get out of this funk.
Yeah.
Like the Raiders and the Lions were for years and the Browns. If you keep blowing top five picks.
That's very difficult to overcome.
Right. That's why the Raiders have to get this right. First of all, get a quarterback, but if you can get Flores and Dable, now we're talking.
Right, and if that doesn't work out, then I don't know what to say. Because, I mean, can't we all agree, like, that's a pretty damn good hire if they land both those guys? Like, that's the package that's going to come out here. Flores can handle everything defensively, be the head guy, and then just Dable just... The numbers yesterday by Warren Sharp, Dable and Jackson Dart together, when they faced that gauntlet of a schedule this year, the kid was awesome.
Yeah.
And I know that Stanford Steve, he's been on several times, and he has basically said, dude, Brian Dable is a phenomenal offensive mind. I think he's right. Just that's another thing, too. Giants have always hit a tough schedule the way it seems, and you know they can't get out of their own way. This is pretty wild now. Baltimore should be able to name whoever they want.
Yeah.
You get to work with Lamar.
Yeah.
And that's a team that does not screw up many drafts. Like, they get it right a lot.
The Raiders are preparing to hire their fifth head coach since 2021.
Oh, it's
man.
Been a circus.
Well, first question is patience. Will I be here for a couple years? And then you gotta fix the Crosby mess, too. That's where I just trade him. That's what also I would say. If Sauce Gardner goes for two number ones, it's like, okay, let's talk.
Yeah. Okay, I promise I'm going to get to that bet coming up in about 20 minutes. We had to break in news. We had to do that instead. Much more pressing. But that bet they need to add today to the portfolio coming up in about 20 minutes. Paul Stone next. We'll get his analysis. College football coming up. And also, he likes a few college games tonight in basketball as well. We'll get his best bets next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We will keep you up to date. Obviously, we have any more breaking news in the National Football League. If you're just tuning in right now, John Harbaugh out as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And he is turning into the short shot, I think, to go to the Giants next. Stefanski, no longer with the Browns, going to interview in New York with the Giants tomorrow. And right now, we go to the Progressive guest line. Paul Stone joins the program, professional sports bettor, longtime college football bettor and handicapper. Paul, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, as always. So let's get started with the Ole Miss Miami game. This story with Ole Miss is absolutely fascinating. No more Lane Kiffin. Doesn't matter. They looked awesome against Georgia and now take on maybe the best defense in the country in Miami. They're catching three. That's around even money, or you can grab plus 3.5. You like them and a player prop. Tell us why.
I tell you, Mitch, I do. And I'm going to start with the player prop here if I can. And I'm going to talk about Trinidad Chambliss. And you know, Austin Simmons started the year as Ole Miss's starting quarterback with Jackson Dart off to the NFL. Simmons injured his ankle in week two. So in steps Trinidad Chambliss out of Division II Ferris State, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But I think at first the Ole Miss coaching staff, headed then by Lane Kiffin, I think they clearly thought they had a great athlete, maybe somebody who was more of a great athlete than a great quarterback. I think everyone has now come to realize that Chambliss is a great quarterback who also happens to be a great athlete. But, you know, you look at early on, there was a four-game stretch in September and the first Saturday in October where he carried the ball 54 times over four games. So he was averaging 13 and a half carries a game. In September, he had 62 yards rushing against Arkansas, 112 against Tulane, 71 versus LSU. So a four-game stretch, he averaged 13 and a half carries a game. The last five games of this season, though, including the last two in the playoffs, they've kind of given him the keys in the passing game. They found out this guy's not only a runner, he can throw the football. He's only carried the ball 31 times in his last five games, so only 6.2 carries, so more than half fewer the number of carries. But I think in this game, he's going to have to run the football. I think he is a great runner, and I think they know to negate or neutralize Miami's pass rush, they've got to run the quarterback. You know, if you that's the one thing that you if you have it, if you have that elusive quarterback who can run the ball upfield, that's the one way you can make a defense pay when those defensive ends go wide and try to, you know, outquick the offensive tackle and get to the spot and get around him. You run the quarterback. And this is a Miami, Florida team that gets to the quarterback 46 sacks on the year, 3.4 sacks a game to rank third nationally. Of course, Akeem Mesidor has 10.5 of those sacks. Reuben Bain Jr., 8.5. But I think they're going to run Chambliss on a lot of design runs, whether they be draws or other type quarterback runs. And then he's also going to get some yardage just on scrambles when the pocket collapses, that sort of thing. So the one wild card to keep in mind, obviously sacks count against rushing yardage in college football, unlike the NFL. So if he gets sacked a few times, that could be the flying or ointment. But I think he's going to gain a lot of yards on the ground. I like Trinidad Chambliss over 23.5 rushing yards there at Circa. And then looking at the game itself, you know, I was on a show this morning with another college football analyst, and he made the comment, and I couldn't really disagree with him, that Trinidad Chambliss is playing better than anyone in college football right now. And that certainly wasn't a knock at Fernando Mendoza. He was the deserving Heisman winner. Oregon quarterback Dante Moore playing at an extremely high level as well. We've got three really talented quarterbacks, and Carson Beck is pretty good in his own right. But to watch Trinidad Chambliss against Georgia, to watch that elusiveness, just the feet, the escapability, this guy's a playmaker. I mean, he looks like he's a guy who's just, you know, destined to win football games. Obviously, they have a unique coaching situation with Kiffin off to LSU and many of his assistants going with him. I read a story this morning. It looks like, as has kind of been the word, you know, throughout this week, Charlie Weiss Jr. expected to call plays for Ole Miss, the offensive coordinator. Looks like Kevin Smith, the running backs coach, will also be on hand for Ole Miss's semifinal game against Miami. But it looks like at least four other assistant coaches probably won't make the trip. They are currently employed by LSU, apparently, as of January 1st. I think this Ole Miss team, I think it's going to be a scoring game. And I'm not sure Miami can keep up with them. I think Trinidad Chambliss is the wild card here. I think he's going to come up big. I like the Rebels. If you want to split a unit, +3 at +100 or even money, and then take +3.5 with the other half unit, -120, that's good. However you want to do it, I think Ole Miss is going to beat Miami on Thursday.
All right. Quickly, do you like a college basketball game tonight, sir?
Yeah, I like a couple tonight, a couple of underdogs. I usually bet underdogs in college basketball. I'm going to look first to the Big Ten. And those who follow UCLA basketball closely know that Mick Cronin likes to complain about Big Ten travel. This isn't too bad of a travel situation. They played on Iowa on Saturday, lost that game by 13. They actually trailed by 23, did UCLA late in the first half. Cut it to 4 with under 5 minutes to go. But UCLA, they've played well away from home. They lost by 4, 69-65 to Arizona early in the year in Inglewood. They're trying to avoid back-to-back Big Ten losses, so I think you're going to get a big effort out of them. And also, this is not Wisconsin coach Greg Gard. He's had some good teams there in Madison. This is not one of his best teams. They lost by 28 at BYU, lost by 30 at Nebraska. I know we can have some real distinct home-road dichotomies, but they also lost at home in their last outing to a very good Purdue team, 89-73. I think UCLA is going to keep it close, perhaps win the game. I like the Bruins +3.5 over the Badgers.
You like that one? You like Texas?
I have another game. I'll go get real quickly here. Texas plus 10.5 at Tennessee, Southeastern Conference game. Texas coach Sean Miller, his SEC debut this past Saturday in Austin against Mississippi State. The Longhorns blew a 7-point lead in the final 2 minutes of regulation, eventually lost to Mississippi State 101-98 in overtime. Their next three games just kind of represents how the gauntlet can look in the SEC. Of course, they play at Tennessee tonight, at Alabama on Saturday, and then they host Vanderbilt 8 days from today on Wednesday, January 14th. Texas, though, they played pretty well on enemy soil in a couple of games so far this year. Lost by 8 to UConn in Hartford back in mid-December. And they actually led Duke by 1 at halftime in Charlotte in their season opener back at the beginning of the season. Eventually lost to the Blue Devils by 15, but they were competitive for much of that game. I think they keep it within single digits tonight in Knoxville against Tennessee. Give me Texas plus 10.5 over the Volunteers.
Very good. You can follow him on X. He is at Paul Stone Sports. Best of luck. Love the analysis as always. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Good luck this week.
Good luck, Paul.
There you go. And he was on the Progressive guest line.
John Harbaugh out. Here's a couple things that did him in. 64-year-old Harbaugh. Well, I'll get to that second. The blown leads in the fourth quarter. The blown leads in the second half at home. 8 years with Lamar Jackson. 3 playoff games. Won 3 playoff games.
That's absolutely unacceptable.
It is. Never advanced past the AFC title game. Empty seats at numerous games this year. Went 3-6 at home. That's another one.
Okay, first
That's
of
big.
All, I never in a million years would have guessed he's in his mid-60s.
Okay.
Doesn't that change things a little bit?
Here's why. This is a good tweet from, maybe. Here's a tweet from Man Ram. How many teams are going to reconsider what they're doing right now? Hello, Tampa Bay. You don't take Todd Bowles out? Say no more, Todd. Well, we're going Harbaugh. He is 12th for most all-time wins in NFL history and has a Super Bowl.
Is he? He's number 12 overall?
Yeah. 193 wins.
Mm. I mean, if you want to play that game, that would be the first team that comes to mind, right? Hey, well, we think we're okay at head coach, but if something happens where... another guy's available. Maybe we can just say, get out of here, pal.
Well, a little concerned what's going on in Green Bay the last couple of years. We can't get a good seed. We can't host a playoff game at home.
Is Harbaugh a better coach in the floor?
I think so.
I don't know. Tampa Bay has to be the team. If you want to do this exercise, yeah. I would instantly say, Todd, buddy, it's been real. See ya.
Yeah.
And then let's get John Harbaugh to Tampa, not right now, to make that happen. I have a funny feeling he's sticking to the Northeast, isn't he?
I think he'd be a good fit in Atlanta.
I think if you're going to make a bet, if you can find markets on this right now, which I can't, maybe Kelsey, they do have this up. Don't you take a little bit on him to go to the Giants, though, and just be fine with it, even if you lose that bet? I mean, if you were hosting a show when I was gone last week with Mark Malusis here on the network.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this guy's connected. You know he has.
Of course.
He's here and stuff, yeah.
Worked with Mike and the Mad Dog for years on WFAN. If he brings that up, okay.
Right.
Like, what is he hearing? What kind of conversations has he had about that? And I think that would also win the presser, by the way.
No doubt.
You'd win over the media immediately if the Giants could get
him. Yes.
Here's another one. How about if you're the Jets, you say, wait a second here.
Good one.
He's going to go in the same play in this stadium against Glenn, adios, pal.
I know, but there's no way he takes that job. No way.
He has $15 million a year could change things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, grab a slice inside of our pizzeria coming up, and the bet you need to add today is a future. Next.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN. Do you like the service at Mitch and Pauly's?
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Leave us a tip on your way out.
You don't tip.
You don't tip. What do you mean you don't tip?
You don't believe in it.
The guys crack open the jar and see what the listeners have left behind.
So what, no eating now?
It's time for the tip jar at Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria.
Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria tip jar sponsored by Mama's Pizza. Mama's Pizza, the only place where your pizza money always gets you a win. Check them out, mamaspizzas.net, Mama's Pizza on Instagram. They've been around since 1968, kicking ass and taking names. It is the best. Phenomenal. Let's go with Max in Ohio, placed in May. Thunder to win the NBA title. Cash it. Dodgers World Series. Cash it. Bills Super Bowl, 71-1. I would love to see that happen, but I can't. I don't have any faith in that defense. And they got to do it all on the road.
Yeah. I mean, again, the Bills making the Super Bowl, I want to make this clear, that would be incredible drama. Right? Because I want to see that team win a Super Bowl at some point. I just don't. I'm with you, Paul. They're not an amazing football team. And he doesn't have to win the AFC because there's no Mahomes and Lamar this year. Yeah,
I don't know. If they win Sunday, I don't know. Jacksonville has better special teams and better defense. Let's start there. Goes back to everything on Allen's plate. Patriots AFC, UConn Women's Hoops, Thunder NBA Avs Cup, 50-1, James. Not bad. Two seed. Hot quarterback, May, great coach. And you know how we feel about the Avs and the Thunder. And well, I think the ladies are undefeated, right?
I will also give you this on the ladies. I ran into our buddy Scotty Tribuco. This goes back weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was asking him about what are his favorite legs right now to build crossbar parlays
Good
with?
Question.
And he immediately chimed in, UConn women.
Uh-huh. Good.
I'm like, better than OKC? Better than... He's like, yeah, Mitch, UConn women.
All right. Super Bowl exacta. Rams, Broncos, 200-1. Kyle, August 1st, Tennessee, eat...
Hello.
Not bad. Damn, he could have had both one seeds. Oh. Did we forget that game happened for MVP people? The guy scored 37 points on the road at Seattle. And you saw what San Francisco did?
Right. And the defense and the special teams is the reason why they lost?
Yeah, let them down. Stafford MVP, Rams Super Bowl. Susan Marie in Massachusetts. Get him, Suze. Stafford MVP 35-1 Ram. Good. Well done.
Remember, there are books out there at the beginning of the season that allow you to do that. Like,
that is great.
Which quarterback will win the MVP and the team win the Super Bowl? It's got to be it's a two-team parlay, but it's got to be the player from the same team.
Yeah.
That was out there, Stafford MVP and Rams Super Bowl. May and the Patriots, you know?
Gordon in Oregon. Remember, day of selection Sunday, Miami was 125-1.
Yeah.
One win away from hosting the title game. Miami college football. Duke wins the ACC. UConn wins the Big East, 302-1. December 5th. Duke's got a big one tonight against Louisville.
That's a really good game.
That's a great ticket. He's alive and well. Wow, if he gets a win Thursday. What is this?
That's exactly what I'm waiting for here.
Brett in Pennsylvania. Miami, 250-1. November 28th.
Come on.
Well, I mean, remember the first rankings, though? They were 17.
Yeah, but this is November 28th.
I got top. So, top pair, top kicker.
So basically, the book is just like they have no chance to get in.
I could see that, yeah.
We're trusting the committee here.
They were 17th on the first rankings. The first rankings came out... Early November, mid-November.
So right now with that number, would you do anything at this point?
You have to.
Because you could bet Ole Miss, obviously, this week.
You're 3.5-point favorite. Then you host the damn game.
You could also be betting exactas right now.
Yeah,
you could
bet look-ahead lines available, too.
Yeah, you could bet Oregon over Miami right now. You could also bet Indiana over Miami.
Come on, Brett. Dave in North Carolina. Bet when Stafford MVP was plus 280. Stafford MVP, Nuggets win the West, Celtics win the East, Iggo wins the French Open. 538-1. You're cooking. You're cooking.
I don't hate it.
This Celtics story's crazy.
Sure it is.
They're playing so well. They might get the one seed. And Tatum's coming back. They're doing this without Tatum.
I would urge people to go and look at any random Celtics box score from the last couple of weeks and tell me how many names you recognize if you're not a Celtics season ticket holder.
What do we get? Just win bets, baby, on X. Man City wins the prim. UConn goes to the Final Four. Anaheim Ducks miss the playoffs. Boston Fleet. Women's Hockey League. What? 135-1.
Yeah, that's... good. I hope it cashes.
You can bet on that?
Evidently.
Women's Hockey, evidently.
We should ask Mike Palm if he has bets on it.
Wow.
That'd be right up his alley, I think, tomorrow.
Mark Hopple. Jags win the AFC, Pistons win the East, Iowa State Final Four, Japan, World Baseball Classic. Japan to win is the last leg, 473-1.
Well, meaning...
Like plus 410, excuse me. Japan is plus 410.
Oh, plus 410 on the last one, okay. Well, let's get it going with that. I would be very happy with the Jags got there.
He looks good. That's off to a great start. And one, well, let me get the one that we just received on X. Ed M. Indiana wins the college football championship. Broncos win the Super Bowl. Arizona in hoops. Pistons win the title. Avs win the cup. That's a big one. There's a lot of, it's like the Ryan Kramer calling long distance. I think it's 5,000 to something to one. It's crazy. I love it, with the exception, I would have gone Pistons East, not title. Because the Pistons might get the one seed.
I would do the East as well.
Yeah. I love it. I just would have done Pistons to win the East.
I like Pistons East. I like, again, Colorado to win the West. Just keep adding that.
Keep adding that, right.
Right. And if you want to throw in these teams and make the Final Four, I'm fine by that as well. Because that way, if the first two get there, you can have multiple teams all make the Final Four. You're not asking one team to win the national title.
All right. What'd you send in, Luke? Couple late ads. Keep them coming. FTM at VSiN.com. Super Bowl exacta. Patriots Seahawks 60-1. Dennis in Massachusetts. You're alive and well. Bills beat the Seahawks 200-1. Golf par me up.
Well, that number is certainly long gone. That was from a long time ago.
That's a good Super Bowl. That's an excellent Super Bowl.
That is a phenomenal number to have in pocket.
Yeah. Good job, guys. Took a bad beat last night. Mama's Pizza has your back. Feeding hungry Texans since 1968. They've won so many best pizza awards, they stopped counting. The crust, oh, so good. I ate it backwards. It's phenomenal. The garlic crust, the garlic butter on the crust. The meat lovers, the pepperoni, the pies are great. Great wings. Thinking long-term value. Get the franchise opportunities. 817-870-2571. There's a location a half mile from Jerry's World for you football and soccer fans. Mamaspizzas.net, 817-870-2571. Mama's Pizza.
Okay, get ready to beat your head against the wall with this bet. However, it has to be made. Even if it's a loser, this number is still too good. You got to take it. Here's why. I'm going to name the name of the player at the end. I'll give you the numbers first. With him on the court, this team is the second best defense in the entire league. Without him, they are 30th.
That's a Joker thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Teams are shooting negative 7.5% true shooting with him, 5.2% effective field goal percentage, 97 percentile, grabbing 4.4% of offensive rebounds, 99 percentile, and going way less at the free throw line when he is on the floor. Another one. This team is 16 points better defensively when he is on the floor. 16 points better. And his defensive rating is 107.3, second best in the league, minimum 30 minutes overall. And other people are chiming in who cover the league, I don't know if they have a vote or not, saying that this player has been, this is from Tony Jones, who covers the Sixers, this player has been the best defender in the league so far this season by a mile. If the season ended today, he should be getting another Defensive Player of the Year award. It's Rudy Gobert, and you can have him still at as high as 12-1 from what I see.
That was Chet minus 220. Number one, they're in a funk losing games. Number two, it's the whole team.
It's the whole team.
This goes back to Gobert when he got it over Wembanyama. The whole team was so good, though.
Yeah, and it's the whole team with the Thunder, and let me tell you, the advanced numbers tell you that Hartenstein is actually the heart and soul of the defense, more so than Chet.
Yeah.
So, based on all of this, like I'm just telling you right now, 12-1 available is going to be gone by end of day today or tomorrow, certainly by the end of this week.
Those are great tweets.
Rudy Gobert will turn into either the odds-on favorite or the second shot on the board within a couple of days, is my prediction.
Good job. Very interesting.
And 2 years ago has absolutely nothing to do with this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Between 15 and 23 feet, Joker was shooting 62%.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's all right. Odds are changing, by the way. Harbaugh is out in Baltimore. And we'll tell you about those odds coming up next here on VSiN. Whoa, 44%.